Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome to Cavs, a podcast. I'm Nate Smith, and I am here with one mad commenting fool, the human meme generator, Mr. Mr. Who?
Evil Genius.
There you go. Yeah, so we've been having a lot of fun in the comments section the last couple of Cavs the Blog.
Man, it's been, I got to tell you, I don't think I've had this much fun since the year they won the whole thing. Actually, that's not true. I guess they had some pretty good games in 2017. But man, last year was just a slog.
Yeah, and you just didn't know what team was going to come show up from night to night. And, you know, and this was a total trap game. Like previous seasons, you would see, Giannis isn't playing. They're resting Giannis tonight. And then the Cavs just wouldn't even show up, you know. And it was like they got all up for Giannis, and then, oh, well, he's not playing. We can beat them. And then they would just have no energy. But the Cavs just brought – the last several games have brought the energy from the tip. And
they really have, man, especially at home. They've won their last four at home, all against playoff teams. I don't know if you can count Orlando as a playoff team, but they're fighting for the playoffs. So
yeah, I mean, they're a near 500 team at the very least. So –
Well, no, they won. Since the All-Star break, they're 6-2 at home.
Yeah, yeah, and they have an All-Star center. So, I mean, they're a solid team for sure. And what the Cavs, they won against Milwaukee tonight. Won against the Pistons. Obviously, sans Griffin in Detroit, gave Dallas a really good run for their money down in Dallas. And it's just. It's been a really fun run, and the team just seems super deep right now. They were talking a little bit in the game.
Well, especially tonight.
Yeah, when everybody's healthy. Yeah.
They had Love back for half the game anyways, till he smashed heads with Bledsoe. And they didn't say about it, hey, he had a concussion or not, but he seemed woozy and then he didn't come back. So,
well, I'm sure they checked him out at halftime, and it might have been he was fine.
I would hope so.
It might have been he was fine at halftime, and then once he started exerting himself, he started to feel it, and that happens with a concussion. So, I'm glad they did
sure.
the right thing and took care of him. So,
yeah, no, they he looked rusty anyways. I mean, he was like 1-for-9 or. From 3 and 1-for-10 overall. So, like, he really didn't, he didn't shoot the ball well at all.
No, and I felt like he didn't do a good job of getting his rhythm inside early.
Yeah. And he just jacked a bunch of threes.
Yeah, which is
and
okay.
Deep threes, too. Like, he was like 3 and 4 feet beyond the line.
Yeah. Which is okay because he's, you know, that good of a shooter, but. You would like to see them get him going a little inside first, and which kind of isn't their offense right now. But they kind of late, maybe except when Tristan's in and when Zizic is in, they've been running a little bit of an inside out offense. You know, where they have the screeners up high, and either Larry Nance pops or Zizic sets himself up for that. Either the roll or the pick and pop in the free throw line. And and then they had a lot of drive and kick action. And the offense
well, I feel
has been really fun to watch.
It's been a largely a product of teams playing zone against them, too.
That is true. Yeah.
They've had to adjust the way they play. So,
yeah.
But yeah, go ahead.
Oh, they did. They made a really concerted effort tonight, especially the guards, getting into kind of the top of the free throw line area and into that in between, not really where it's quote unquote the mid range, but not out at the 3-point line. And
yeah,
they kind of focused on that early as the weak part of their defense. And the Cavs might lead the league in guys who can shoot floaters because, you know, they got Brandon Knight is apparently Mr. Floater. And then they've got Colin Sexton shoots a lot of floaters and obviously Dele. And then Jordan Clarkson,
well, Clarkson
shoots a lot
too,
of every kind of shot.
Well, he was on tonight.
He had one of his better games. Yeah, let's pull up his stat line.
Well, I feel like we should start with Sexton, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. So,
I mean, you know, I went into a large detail in the last recap, but he was able to break his tie with AC for the team lead in most 23 point games by a Cavs rookie. He had passed Ron Harper. Yeah, he had passed Ron Harper with five against Dallas, and then he tied AC on Monday, and then passed him tonight with and actually got to 23 with that just absolute dagger of a three.
Yeah,
in the fourth quarter.
Teams are gonna have to start to stop leaving him. Like, he is just deadly on catch and shoot.
Well, I don't even know if it's so much there. I mean, they're leaving him sometimes, but sometimes he's been doing a better job of dribbling into them too.
Oh yeah, and totally. But I mean, tonight it was a great setup from Clarkson, and he's just a knockdown catch and shoot shooter right now. And I need to go pull up some analytics on his catch and shoot. We need Tom on this podcast so he can do the research in the background for us.
Exactly. With that hot blue key action.
Yeah.
click, 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 click.
Yeah.
No, but he's 4-for-7 again tonight from 3-point land. 10-of-18 overall. I mean, he's just been shooting the lights out. He had a few turnovers tonight. You know, he was trying to force a little bit, and Bledsoe's really good at stripping the ball. He had four turnovers.
Yeah, a lot of those guys on that team. I mean, Ilyasova, Bledsoe, Brook Lopez, they're all guys that are going to, if you show the ball, they're going to get it. I mean, Larry Nance had that happen ended up being a jump ball on a drive. So,
yeah. And he had three assists all in the first quarter when the Cavs were actually shooting the ball really well. Yep. But I noticed that, you know, there were a few, he made some really smart passes tonight. Couple of, like, he had that cross court one to Nwaba in the corner that it just went in and out. He had a similar one to Jetty. Like, he's definitely looking for guys now. He's definitely seems to be expanding his court vision. He's just not, some of these shots are just not falling, so he's not getting the assist totals, but he's definitely active out there.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the biggest thing with him and with the whole Cavs team when he's in, and especially Kevin Love being back, has totally increased the focus of this. When they run, they put so much pressure on opposing teams. Like, remember how bad their fast break was earlier this year?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just night and day from what we saw earlier this year. I mean, Chetty Osman, really good. When he gets into the middle of the defense, just finding...
They're both so fast. Yeah.
Well, that, and he's just so good at the passer on the break. I mean, we saw that in the Monday game where he had six assists and, like, I think four of them were all on fast breaks. And it's, like, he makes really quick decisions, centers the ball.
I love that break tonight, though, where Kevin Love got the rebound, fired at half court to Chetty, and then Chetty... Or was it no to Sexton? Sexton passed it to Jetty ahead to Jetty, and then he passed to Jetty. Jetty passed it ahead to Sexton, and you looked like Sexton was going to go and maybe even get blocked at the rim, but then at the last second he shoveled it off to Jetty, and Jetty scored. So
yeah, and
it's just a really great way to run the break, and it showed a lot of growth from both of those guys and how they run the break.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing I really love about the way they run the break is those guys run the lanes, and then they if that's not there, then they look for the trailers in the corners and at the top of the key rather than, you know, camping it. I loathe the NBA where you see a 3-on-2 or a 2-on-1, and then all of a sudden one guy just peels out to the corner, and it's like, yeah, a corner three is a good look, but it's like you literally have a layup here if you just make the right pass. You know.
Yep. No, I never get that. The Bucks did that a few times tonight, which it surprised me because they're not typically a team I would think would do that. But the couple of times they did do that, they seemed to be just intent on swinging the ball to Middleton, which was not a bad idea tonight.
No, and that team, man, that ball was hopping for them on a few occasions. I mean, there was a couple times where the Cavs are playing really good defense, and they just never the ball just moved so many times they just couldn't get back.
Yeah. They had one great defensive play where they were on everybody, and then they forgot about, I think maybe it was Knight that forgot about Connaughton on the weak side, and he just went in for a layup. So
yeah, and speaking of Pat Connaughton,
is it Connaughton or Connaughton?
I thought it was Connaughton. That sounds more Scottish to me. Connaughton.
Catching the ball tonight.
Yeah, so the Cavs started out, they were up by 16 at one point in the second quarter, and then had a comfortable lead, and then got outscored by 11 in the third, and it was tied going into overtime, into the fourth, and that's when my power went out.
And yeah, so, and that's when Ante Zizic took over, man.
Yeah, I know, I missed all of it. I heard he was a rebounding machine.
He had six offensive rebounds, five of them in the fourth quarter, and he had 8 points, seven of them in the fourth quarter. He was just a glass cleaning putback machine. He did Tristan Thompson proud, and Tristan actually, man, he didn't look like he'd missed a step coming back, and he was 3 for 3 in 12 minutes with six boards and two offensive for 7 points. Like,
yeah, he had a couple of those like patented Tristan Thompson offensive rebounds where he's got no business getting the ball, but somehow ends up with it. Yeah.
It was just nice seeing him back out there, seeing Love back out there, seeing Nance back out. They got a whole new front line, basically. I mean, I know two of them came off the bench, but still. Well, like,
and the crazy thing is they still got Henson to come back.
Yeah.
And so Keish will be out of the rotation then.
Yeah, he wasn't tonight because Love.
Yeah, he
got
played
the
about what? Yeah,
six minutes because Love banged heads and Tristan was on a minutes restriction, I think. So I figure we'll probably see Keish at least a few minutes here and there.
But here's his line in 6 minutes: 1 point, 0 rebounds, 1 turnover,
and 1 for 2 from the free throw line.
Yeah, he's. I feel like we've. Come up.
He got hacked in the face, though.
I didn't. I
that one
that,
possession. Yeah, your power was off. But oh my god, he was absolutely mauled and got no call.
Really? Because
so,
I felt like the Cavs were getting the calls in the first half. I was
most of it. Yeah, in the second half they seemed to be, especially when Ersan started. He got that one flop that one charge that actually wasn't a flop, but where most of the rest of them were at least. Sexton got a piece of his jaw with his elbow.
I mean, if you're going to get a charge, make him earn it, you know.
Yeah, it should hurt.
So, yeah.
You're not going to turn the ball over, make it hurt.
And the Cavs played really well coming into crunch time, and then they had an 11-point lead, or not 11-point lead, a 3-point lead with 11 seconds. Milwaukee had the ball. And they ran some goofy kind of backdoor lob play for Pat Connaughton.
Yeah.
Or Connaughton. Getting the ball in the basket or catching it.
Cannot catch the ball. Yeah.
And I was like, and kind of my point was, you know, you don't call that play for that guy in that situation.
That's why Budenholzer is not a good playoff coach.
Right.
Like, he's just not – like, he draws up a great play and then inserts the wrong personnel to run it.
I mean, the guy was minus 20 on the night.
Yeah, well, I know.
I know. I mean, and then meanwhile, like, to me, it's ridiculous because, you know, you want to know who the best isolation player in the NBA is this year?
Is it Chris Middleton?
It is. That guy is the best ISO player in the NBA this year. And it's like, well, why wouldn't you just get that guy the ball somehow? I mean, he had a monster night tonight, 26 points, 21 shots, 12 rebounds.
No, literally, you could get it. You could have got it to anybody but Connaughton.
Yeah.
I don't know why Connaughton played 34 minutes.
Well, they ran a real short rotation. I mean, they ran an eight-man rotation. So, and then, of course, Ilyasova was in foul trouble, and their other guy was DJ Wilson and Tim Frazier.
I don't trust the dude with a
like,
man
they
bone.
Literally just picked up Frazier off the street.
No, I know. I know.
This week, so.
But, play Bonzi Colson. He probably would have done better.
He probably would have, and then Nomad and I would have been freaking out.
I know. I don't have any sympathy, though, for Milwaukee. I mean, I know that this was one of the rare times the Cavs had way more healthy guys than the opponent.
And they were on the back end of a back-to-back, but you beat teams in that situation. The Cavs did what they should do. They ran them. They beat them up on the boards in the second half. I mean, you got to know that if Adetokounmpo is playing in the second half, Zizic probably isn't getting as many of those offensive rebounds. But
for sure.
But you can't play down to your opponent, and they didn't.
Oh, I have no illusions that if Giannis plays, this game's probably not even close.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But Giannis didn't play against the Lakers, and the Bucks won by 13.
Indeed. So now it's just more validation. That's what it is. So other guys.
I don't know if it's validation. It's just kind of like it's sort of a – I mean, you know LeBron watches these games.
Oh, yeah. Right? I mean, he can't
– You know, he, at the very least, he's watching SportsCenter.
Yeah.
And he's looking at this thing like, huh. But, I mean, look, we're the basketball part of him probably maybe questions it. The you know, business LeBron isn't. Business LeBron made this move. This move was preordained, right? I mean, he was going to go to L.A. at some point so he could shoot things like Space Jam 2 and, you know, five different TV shows. So it's just the way it is.
And – Yeah, it's
you make your bed and you live with it.
Yeah, I mean I'm sure we'll come back to that. I that's what I really like about the Cavs right now is the conversation isn't about LeBron. The conversation is about the Cavs.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like they are. It LeBron is. Oh yeah, he used to play for the Cavs. You know, now it's man. Colin Sexton looks really good. You know, Chetty Osmond looks really good. And that's fun. That's, I think, what is really fun about that, the team right now.
Absolutely. Honestly, it's so much fun to watch these guys having fun on the court. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing. Like last year, even the games that were close, even the games that were like that crazy comeback against Philly towards the end of the season, or, you know, even the Minnesota game where, you know, after all the trades when it, or right before all the trades and, you know, it didn't matter. Like there was just it was a real sense of like, these guys just aren't having a good time, you know? Yeah. And I know it's a job, but at the same time, basketball is supposed to be fun. You're supposed to have a good time watching it. You're supposed to be having a good time playing it. And
I mean, you've had many jobs, many different experiences. It's always better, and I feel like the product is always better when you enjoy each other's company and you feed off each other and you bring that positive energy.
Sure.
I don't think it matters what you do for a living. It's the product is always better when you enjoy what you do, and it doesn't mean you're not working, but just because you're having fun doesn't mean it's not work. But you can find a way to. I don't know. I'm got some happy, crappy bullshit here, but but I mean, you know what I'm saying. It's like the chemistry matters, you know.
Well, sure, but it's also what's great about it is that you know there. It's that whole thing about that I said at the end, which is that recency bias idea, where you're like, you know, when it was the team was 0-6 and Ty Lue got fired, or you know, when they were, when they'd won like four or five games and things looked pretty bleak, you know, even into December.
When a certain commenter was saying they would have three wins come January.
Yeah, but then, and you know,
the
you
same
look at
commenter who 2 weeks ago was like, the Cavs have got to keep Marquise Chris. He's going to be amazing.
Anyway, I don't want to call anybody out, but I'm just saying,
no
like,
names, please.
I'm just saying that the book was written so quickly on Sexton that he was a bust. Man, I went back when I was doing the recap on Monday. There were so many articles about Colin Sexton's a bust, and his teammates don't think he can play, and this and this and this, and just endless. Like they were like three pages of, you know, when I look up news on Colin Sexton, like just how much, and needlessly so. Like there was no reason to bag on a rookie like that.
Well, and I was guilty of it. I'll admit. I mean, I was really frustrated with him at times. You know,
it's a difference between frustration and saying he's a bust. He's forget write that guy off.
But
write that guy off.
I was also looking at the guys taken behind him and was like, did the Cavs really make a mistake here? And well, and I think it was really most glaring when he wasn't using his speed at all. Like when it just didn't look like he was going to go by anyone.
Yeah, it was just straight line speed and not modulating it, yeah.
Well, that, and he just wouldn't even try to beat somebody off the dribble. It was always just like a little short burst into a pull-up, and it's like, that's not a good look. And
well, I think too, I mean, as positive as he is on the outwardly, I'm sure he was disappointed or down on himself a little bit, at least a little bit early on, because that's life in the NBA. You go from 1 year in college, you know, where you're being taught not necessarily all the right things by Avery Johnson into, you know, the NBA, where you're basically forced into a starting role because the last superstar left and basically left nothing behind but an injured star and a bunch of pieces that didn't quite fit anymore.
Yep.
And, you know, and look, Colin Sexton started this. This was his 61st game of the year that he started. Kyrie started 53. Granted, that was a strike year, but you know, but I think he was also injured a little bit that first year. I mean, that's a lot to ask from a guy who's, again, he's the eighth pick in the draft.
Oh,
he wasn't
absolutely
the first pick in the draft. So
absolutely, and I will, you know, admit that I had didn't have the faith for a while, but I kind of resigned myself to this is still a work in progress. You don't know, you know, maybe next year, maybe the year after, you know, if you're not seeing progress, you can say, hey, we can write this guy off, but you can't write him off now because it's the learning curve is so steep and not everybody gets it at the same time. I mean, look at D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
I mean, D'Angelo Russell.
No, look at De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, D'Angelo Russell had to be traded from his team where he was a superstar.
Well, that was just dumb. He wasn't traded because he was bad, though. He was traded because he was a snitch.
Well, yeah. And he was a locker room problem and all that stuff. But the other issue there is, you know, I think he had to be knocked down a peg to be able to get up a peg. And maybe, you know, they were talking about the post game.
That's typical Lakers choosing a dude like, what's his name? Who's that? Who's the guy? The Iggy Azalea guy?
Nick Young?
Yeah. Choosing Nick Young over D'Angelo Russell. Like, that's stupid.
Well,
it's just another typical Laker move.
Yeah. But it's funny because I feel like Sexton kind of had the same, not obviously, he had to get knocked down a peg. They were talking about it in the post game of when he didn't make the Rising Stars team. And then when the replacements came out, it was Kevin Knox and not him.
Yeah.
And
I put that in the write-up. Like that to me felt like the turning point.
Well,
it felt to me like that was the message that only the NBA could send to him, not the rest of his team or anybody. Like, you know, seeing that you're not good enough to be even be past guys that were taken beyond you for the Rising Stars game. You know, it doesn't mean anything, except it means everything, or it should, to a guy like that, because you're trying to make a name for yourself.
Yeah, and to me, the amazing thing now is you look at the shots the Cavs are taking, and it's night and day, and especially Colin Sexton, it's night and day from the shots they were taking earlier in the season.
Something happened. I don't know what happened, but I don't know if they just weren't listening closely enough to Larry Drew early, or if the philosophy changed because of all of the zones they were seeing, because they were only taking mid-range shots. I don't know.
Well, and they also, I mean, look at who they traded away. Rodney Hood, king of the mid-range jumper, and who was the other guy they traded away?
Burks.
And Alec Burks, who, not a terrible mid-range player, but, you know, Alec Burks... I mean, I liked Alec Burks when he was here.
I did too. I liked him more for his attitude and his energy, though, than his shooting.
Yeah, but I mean, he was not a terrible offensive player, and like you were saying.
But I will say this: I think part of what, just going back to the point before, I think the part of why maybe we are predisposed to have knee-jerk reactions about draft picks here is because of the way they've gone, you know, in the recent past. I mean, when you have arguably the biggest bust in NBA history drafted to your team in Gumdrop Bear, you know, everything kind of like, then everything's relative. Because it's not like, yes, Chris Grant is no longer here, but Dan Gilbert's still here.
Yeah, and in retrospect, I mean, the Rodney Hood and Jordan Clarkson trades for how they ended up in the playoffs were kind of terrible. Now, you know, also in retrospects, Chetty Osmond probably should have been playing a lot more in the playoffs last year, and Ty Lue was exposed a little bit at the beginning of the year, and obviously LeBron is not the greatest superstar in the league for developing team chemistry when he's not engaged, but you know, something was clearly wrong with that team last year, and I will give the players and the organization and Coach Drew all the credit in the world for making this a really entertaining, fun, hardworking team coming out of the playoff or the All-Star break.
Yeah, this is an interesting tweet that just got posted on the thread. It came from Jordan Zerm. He asked Sexton about the increased amount of threes he's been taking and if it was hard to change his shot selection. He said his teammates would literally scream at him whenever he took a step in to shoot a mid-range jumper, so he figured he better start shooting threes. That's kind of great, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, to me, the best part of this Cavs team right now is they do have that culture of accountability, and the players themselves are the ones that care. Like, that, to me, is the really the most interesting part. And I read a thing, or I saw a thing on leadership yesterday about, you know, welcome to my TED talk, but it was about introspective leaders versus introverted versus extroverted leaders. And extroverted leaders can feel very threatened if the people under them have a lot of ideas, and you know, when they go to shoot those guys down, it can be very demoralizing, whereas introverted leaders need the people around them to be, you know, proactive and have a lot of ideas and be very creative. And I feel like that is kind of the environment that the Cavs, and especially Larry Drew, has really empowered a lot of his veteran players to be leaders on the team. You know, I feel like Larry Nance is one of the best leaders on this team. Like, you always see him. I'm sure the guy telling him to take a three instead of a two is Larry Nance.
It might be Channing too.
Yeah,
by the way.
Or Channing or Kevin Love, and you know, and
Tristan was shouting at him at the end of the half when he was complaining about not getting a foul on that ill advised drive.
Yeah,
and you could tell Tristan was yelling at him like. You're not going to get that call at the end of the half. You're like, make a better shot.
Yeah, it's the end of the half, and you're a rookie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, yeah, that has been great. That's been fantastic. And
well, and he credits them after every game, even after this this one, he credited them again. He was like, because Angel Gray was asking him about the record and how great did that feel? And he's like, it feels great, but I owe it all to my teammates because they're all out there yelling at me, reminding me to do the right things. And
yeah,
that's what you want to hear from a rookie, you know?
Yeah.
Not that, isn't this great? I'm awesome. I'm shooting, I'm the next Tim Duncan. You know what I mean?
I tell you what.
Because by the way, Tim Duncan's the last guy as a rookie to do what Sexton's doing with the scoring.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and that was in 1998.
Yeah, that's you got to figure he's the focus of the game plan at this point when teams are facing him.
If he's not, he should be.
Yeah, I mean, that's really impressive. And I find him unbelievably refreshing as an interview.
Yeah, that's the best word for it. I agree.
Like, there doesn't seem, and I feel like he went to the absolute best team for him.
Yep. Well, certainly the team that get A, the most playing time, and B, the most free reign to grow. To have an impact and grow. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of other teams they wouldn't been able to put up. Or they wouldn't have put up with how bad he was earlier in this season. And the Cavs had a lot of patience, and I give that coaching staff a lot of credit for that. So,
well, all but one.
Segueing, yeah, all but
the tank driver.
The human Chantix commercial. Segueing into that, Larry Drew, do you think he deserves a shot at sticking around next year?
Sure.
I certainly do.
I heard a report today, though, that he doesn't want to.
Really?
Yeah. I had heard a report from, I think it was James Rapine for 92.3, the Fan, who covers the Indians and the Cavs for them, was saying that the reports or the word coming out of Larry Drew's side of things was that he wasn't interested in taking the job, that he'd rather, I don't know why they didn't give a reason, but
I don't know. Maybe it was,
hey, if you didn't believe in me to give me the contract before, I'm not interested in sticking around. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, next year he is under contract, but it's only partially guaranteed.
Right.
And I feel like, if they gave him I think that also might be negotiation for a contract extension.
Probably.
They do want him to stick around. So I don't know how much stock I put in that. I mean, he certainly seems to enjoy the players. I think he probably enjoys the players more than the organization.
It may be that he doesn't want to be a head coach, too.
It may be, but he certainly seems to have the mentality for it. And he's been a head coach twice before.
He definitely seems like a good teacher, if nothing else.
So. Well, and he's very even keeled on the sideline. I mean, what I like about him is he's very even keeled and attentive without being passive. You know what I mean? Like, Ty Lue at times just seemed really passive. Like, he would never get a tech, but also you weren't quite sure whether he was paying attention to what was actually going on in the game. You know?
I don't know that Ty Lue always knew what was going on in the game. He so often looked very clueless.
Bewildered.
Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Ty clueless, yeah.
I felt like Ty Lue was a much better assistant than head coach.
Well, yeah. I mean, he basically saved that playoff series against the Bulls.
Yeah. But, I mean, I really like, and I'm of the opinion that teams kind of take on the persona of their head coach. And Larry Drew is kind of an intense guy without being, overly emotional and without being overly demonstrative. And that's kind of the Cavs' personality right now when they're playing well. What I mean? I really like his demeanor. I've loved what I've seen. What did we talk about at the beginning of the season? What does success look like for the Cavs? And I think we defined it as, success for the Cavs looks like their young players growing into guys that you could see leading a playoff team. And I don't think I mean, obviously they have to improve defensively.
Could make one change and change that
on the coaching staff.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Chetty Osman and Ante Zizic and Colin Sexton have all done that. And to some extent, Clarkson and especially Nance, and even David Nwaba.
Yep.
I don't feel like you could ask for more from a coaching staff, given all the churn, given all the lineup changes. They've run more lineups than anybody in the league. They've had more players. What was it? Tom last week said they've had 100 players in their.
Oh yeah, that's not true. But
no, but it was in the 20s.
25. Yeah, 25 different. So. Well, they've had 25 different lineups for sure. So
and the number of players was in the 20s too.
Yeah, so, at least like 21 or 22. So
yeah, I mean, I it's hard to think who could have done a better job, given how they're playing.
He's done a great job with what he's had, and I actually feel like he's very smart with timeouts. I don't know. I think he's done a nice job with the rotations in the second half of the season.
And he's made adjustments and made plays to win games. I mean, Alec Burks had 3 game-winning shots in 11 wins, which is pretty amazing. I mean, that it's a testament to an ability to coach in close games. So speaking of Alex Burke, there's a guy I would love to see back on the Cavs next year. I wonder what old Alec Burks is doing. Let me.
You think Houston
is he still hanging in Sacramento? We do that.
No, I thought he was on Houston.
No, they traded him to Sacto.
Oh, yeah, but then I thought he got
Shumpert. Shumpert went to right. Houston.
Oh, okay, yeah. So Alec Burks is on Sacramento.
Wendy's Biggie Bag.
Not playing very much. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know what the story is.
It seems like they've been going with younger guys in Sacramento. Yeah. So I think he was hoping they were. I mean, I'm sure back when they traded him, Sacramento was still in the playoff picture.
Yeah.
And then Bagley went down for a couple of weeks, and that kind of put an end to it. That and the Spurs and the Clippers getting hot.
Yeah, but as a bench guard next year, I would not be surprised to see Alec Burks, or I would not be unhappy to see Alec Burks get back in a Cavs uniform.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think he had the right kind of attitude for the team.
Well, and the other thing that you want from, you know, eighth, ninth man, the ability to play multiple positions, and he could play on the ball, he could play off the ball, He's primarily a 2, but he can play the 1 or the 3 if you need. I mean, he's got.
I think I'd rather have Nwaba, though.
No. I'm not saying in lieu of Nwaba, but yeah, I like Nwaba a lot. I think Nwaba's got a ton of potential as.
I'm just not sure there'll be room because if you think about it, if Love doesn't get moved, which I don't think he will or should, so you got Love, Jetty, Zizic, is Knight a free agent after this year?
No, Knight will be on the team next year.
So Knight,
unless he gets
who's been really good lately. I mean, he's starting to look a lot more like his old self. He had 13 points and 4 assists tonight. He shot a little under 50%, but he hit a couple of big threes again. Plus 5 on the night. The only starter that was in the pluses.
Yeah.
But then you got that's Love, Osman, Zizic, Knight, Sexton, Nance Jr., Tristan, because I don't know how they moved that contract. Clarkson, maybe not. And then you got 2 draft picks coming in. That's 10 players.
I can't believe Brandon Knight is 27 years old. Like, he looks like he plays like he's 34.
No.
And the years have not been kind to Brandon Knight. I mean,
well, he was in the same draft class as Kyrie, wasn't he?
Yeah. And Tristan Thompson.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's funny because he has more. What did I read? He has more career points than Thompson or Valanciunas.
Yeah.
Also in that draft.
Oh, well, speaking of points, Clarkson trivia. He is 9 points away from passing Campy as the Cavs as the, having the most points off the bench in a season for a Cav.
Yeah. Did you see any of the, I don't know if when you're watching remotely, if you get to see the studio show.
Sometimes, not always.
So this one was really funny because Campy was joking about how he learned of this record like 2 days ago. And he was really good natured about it. He was like, I did not know I had this record.
That's funny.
And Campy is really enjoyable. Like,
yeah.
Super nice guy.
Well, you're absolutely right, Nate.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, you're absolutely right, Fred. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Rockets, Grizzlies, overtime, 115-115.
Wow.
Rockets had to come way back on that one.
Well, that's kind of what the Rockets do.
It's usually what the Bucks do, too, and they did. They came, they erased the 16-point lead that the Cavs had on them, but
well, I tell you what,
they have enough gas to finish it.
When you got shooting, it overcomes a lot of warts, and the Cavs have shooting now.
I mean, weirdly. Like, you wouldn't think that they would, but
no,
Sexton and Osmond have been terrific lately.
Like, if you went back in time to last fall and, or, you know, a year ago today and you were looking at Colin Sexton and you said, what will be the best thing about Colin Sexton's game? You would not go back and say, that guy's going to be an absolute knockdown three-point shooter.
Oh, exactly.
But
no,
you'd say he's made himself that player.
He'll be really fast, or he'll be good at defense, or he'll be a good distributor, but none of those things. I mean, he's fast, but like...
He's fast, yeah. He's terrible at defense, and he can shoot.
But I think he's terrible at defense because he's a rookie. I expect he's going to be a lot better next year.
Not arguing with you at all. Rookies are terrible at defense. I mean, it's rare to find a rookie that isn't, especially like maybe you'll find at times a young guy that can block a lot of shots, but at the perimeter positions, guys,
especially rookie point guards.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at Trae Young. I mean, cause they're all, none of them have added much muscle yet. And
they're
none
not
of them
used
really
to
know
the speed of this game.
Yeah. They're not ready for the nuance. They fall into traps. Like Bledsoe was pushing off all night on Sexton when he on his drives to the hoop and not getting called for it because vets don't get called for that.
Yeah.
When they're being guarded by rookies. So, and not to excuse Sexton for letting him blow by him so many times, but certainly there's a little bit more to it than he just sucks at defense.
Well, yeah, and also Bledsoe probably, I hate to use the word pound for pound, but probably one of the strongest small guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if no one posts, the strongest no, small guy
well,
in
yeah,
the league.
No one posts up in the paint quite like Bledsoe does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's super, he is very strong. Like, and yeah, and that's just hard to contend with. Although Colin Sexton clearly doesn't miss a lot of workouts because he looks pretty jacked in a lot of pictures. But
oh, yeah. No, and I think he'll only get stronger and better.
Oh, absolutely.
And more attuned to the NBA game, and I think he'll only improve on defense.
Yeah, and
I'll tell you what, if he works on his defense the way he works on his three-point shot, he's going to be great.
That's a very, very good point. And there are guys with similar builds that have been great defenders. I mean, you look at Chris Paul, very similar build, not the tallest guy, not the biggest wingspan, but just he's so quick and he's got such great instincts that he made himself a very good defensive player.
Do you think that Ante Zizic is Billy Donovan's long lost son?
I told you what my friend Eric calls him.
Yeah, the God's Own Widow's Peak.
Yeah, it's the greatest. Yeah, I mean, he really.
Those are two of the finest Widow's Peaks this side of the Munsters.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what I called him, one of my nicknames for him was Fester Munster.
He's good tonight, though. I really enjoy watching Ante because he gets amped up when he starts making plays because I think he does screw up some still and he's still trying to feel out how to play the center position. But man, when he gets going, he's like, he had some amazing throwdowns and putbacks and offensive rebounds. He was really working hard in the beginning of the fourth quarter.
I mean, he has the potential to be a very good backup big. Like, I don't feel like he is full-time starter material on a playoff team, but I could definitely see him being a backup big that's very good on a playoff team. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I think part of it is you've got to put him in the right system too. Like the Cavs do a really nice job of getting their bigs involved and letting them touch the ball and running all those dribble handoffs. And, you know, you got to give Larry Drew and his staff credit too, because he's put in an offense that is pretty good for the skill set of the Cavs. I mean, you look at Larry Nance tonight, another really nice all around game. I think he had 5 assists.
Yeah.
7 points and 6 rebounds. Somewhere around that. Yeah. And so, I mean, just they've got a lot of guys that can pass from the elbows with Kevin Love, and even Tristan's a better passer than he used to be, and Zizic has had some nice passes. And, you know, and the crazy thing is they're still not at full health. They still got Henson coming back. They still got Dele coming back. They run 10-11 deep. It's really going to be interesting to see what happens with this team next year. So I'm really excited of, you know, as we kind of wrap up the season, we got how many games do we have? We have 10 games left.
Is it only 10?
Only 10 games left. Yeah. 53, wow. 19 and 53. It's kind of crazy, because I feel like the season's been a blur too. And in many ways, with all the different lineups and all the different news and so many different storylines around the NBA, it kind of has been.
Yeah. No, that's true.
And I feel like our focus on the regular season has been a lot more than it has been, obviously, the last 2 years, especially.
Well, it's harder to get excited about games where you can tell in the past, where you could tell, like, LeBron wasn't all that into it, or Kyrie or whoever. And, you know, even though LeBron played all 82 last year, it didn't do it with any sort of joy. So
there were many nights that were joyless.
I mean, you can only watch so much Isaiah Thomas. And
yeah. And, I mean, how many times in the last few years did Memphis trot in a team of like 7 guys who weren't on NBA rosters at the start of the season, and then the Cavs lose? I think it happened at least twice. Yeah, or going into Sacramento against an abysmal Sacramento team and just getting waxed. That kind of thing. So, but it was a fun night in the NBA, even for the non-Cav scores were fun too. The Bulls beat the Wizards.
They're still going, aren't they?
No, it's over. Oh, is it? Oh no, the Bulls look like they're going to beat the Wizards. So they're up by 6 in overtime. You're right.
And the Memphis Houston's still going.
Oh no, that's a final. Bulls final in overtime, 126-120.
Oh, it must have just ended then.
Yeah,
okay.
And that, you got to think that pretty much knocks the Wizards out at this point.
Let's see. Yeah, I would think so. I mean, they're 4.5 games behind in the loss column, again, behind the Heat in the 8th spot.
With Orlando and Charlotte ahead of them.
Yeah, and I mean, Charlotte looks about cooked too. I think Orlando's probably the last team that's got a shot to maybe catch Miami.
Yeah, and the funny thing is with as hurt as Milwaukee is, I mean, the team in the 8th spot is playing for a shot to upset too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you assume Milwaukee holds on to that top seed, although you could also see Toronto possibly catching them too.
Toronto's beaten
OKC
fairly decently in the first half. Yeah, first half of the game in OKC, so we'll
and then,
see.
And then Jimmy Butler hit a game sealer over...
well, he did, but man, Embiid had if that was the game. Shot, then Embiid's was the block on Kyrie.
Oh, I missed that. Okay, I didn't get to see any of the highlights. So all I saw was the one Jimmy Butler shot. But yeah, Joel Embiid with a monster 37.22 rebound. I don't know how many blocks he had, but yeah.
He only had one block, but it mattered.
It was a big one.
But he went 20 of 21 from the free throw line. He is the big man version of James Harden.
Yeah, he's...
Did you see that thing I posted about where Marcus Smart, like, threw him to the ground? And
no, I didn't
flopped.
Get to watch the video.
Hilarious.
Oh, I'm going to have to go back to watch
That's good NBA comedy.
Yeah. So I mean, it definitely was a fun night around the association. I just don't feel like
Kyrie can lead that team. I think they'd be
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely think he can leave with a V. I just don't think he can lead with a D.
So this takes me to a great segue that I wanted to talk about tonight. So there was a Ringer column this week, or a Ringer podcast with Simmons this week. And I posted an article in the comments section. It's basically, so if Kyrie leaves, do the Celtics think about a low-key rebuild? Do one of the things, and the title of the podcast or of the article was "How J.R. Smith's Contract is the NBA's Secret Free Agency Weapon."
Oh, you can trade it into a much bigger slot, but then it becomes not guaranteed after June,
It's only guaranteed for like 5 million, but you can also stretch that 5 million, so it's only like 1.5 million a year,
right?
So it was a very interesting piece, and the crux of it was basically trading Gordon Hayward and a draft pick. So basically you're getting out from under Gordon Hayward's contract,
right,
for J.R. Smith and like Jordan Clarkson. And, like, would you not do that in a heartbeat if you were the Cavs? I mean, obviously.
Well, sure.
Well, okay. Two caveats. First of all, do you ever want to trade with Danny Ainge again?
Only if you're fleecing him.
Although, the Zizic and Colin Sexton parts of that trade are looking better and better.
So. Oh, for sure. I think in the same way that it took Paul George 2 years to come back player he was before the injury, I think it will take Hayward until next year to come back and be anywhere close to the player. So yeah, if you could get Hayward to pick for JR and Clarkson, yeah, I don't think Ainge would do that. If he's gonna use draft picks, he's gonna use them to get a star.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing is like, are they gonna go and try and get cap room again? That just doesn't seem like the path that they're on right now.
I think the truth about the Celtics were a better team last year when it was their young guys. When they didn't have anybody, there wasn't the focal point. Everyone, you know, kind of fended for themselves. And like we've talked about this, the whole reason you have a Kyrie on your team is for the playoffs. When right. you need someone to go one-on-one and get you a shot, when you absolutely have to have one, that's why you have Kyrie Irving. You don't have Kyrie Irving for the regular season because regular season doesn't matter. So, especially if you're at that level, it matters in that they're going to probably wind up being on the road in the first round, and that may be a real problem for them if it winds up being against Indiana or Philly, which looks like it will be one of those two. So, you know, that's a tough spot to put yourself in, except the playoffs is where arguably Kyrie should shine. And if he doesn't, then I think he's absolutely gone.
Interesting. But, I mean, the other problem with the contract for Gordon Hayward is he's going to be the sixth highest player, or he's going to be a top 10 contract in the NBA next year. His salary next year is going to be almost $33 million. I mean, that's a big pill to swallow. I mean,
well, I guarantee you after this summer, it won't be.
Oh, yeah. There will be some big.
He might be still contract. Top 15 or 20, but wow. Memphis edges Houston at the end of overtime, 126-125.
Yeah. I mean, there are definitely some guys in the NBA I feel like would be worth moving that JR contract for. Like, so would you go after Drew Holiday if you were the Cavs, if the Pelicans are just totally blowing it up? Too injury prone?
He's too old.
Yeah, well, he's 30. He's a good player, but he's also under contract.
He's a great player.
Years after this one.
No. Yeah. Drew Holiday should go to like Drew Holiday should be the guy that replaces Kyle Lowry, who can't stay healthy in Toronto.
Yeah. One place I could definitely see a guy that I could definitely see the Cavs going after. And I talked about this before, but using that scenario is Danilo Gallinari, who is under contract for $22.6 million next year, but is also that team's going to really want a clear cap room to sign free agents. So I could definitely.
Well, yeah, they need to sign Kawhi.
There you go. Yeah. And so, there's a few guys who I feel like I have those longer term contracts that the Cavs might want to go after. Dennis Schroeder. Or maybe not.
Nah. Not unless you're Ben.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to, like, Dennis Schroeder and Gorgui Dieng, you'd actually have to give the Cavs a lot of compensation for taking those contracts on. I mean, but it'll be interesting. The Cavs have expirings next year, too. I mean, with Brandon Knight and other guys. So there's definitely, they have a lot of options.
Yeah. No, I think they'll keep
the Cavs. They'll just go get Cody Zeller, who has this. Cody Zeller makes $15 million.
They don't need another front court body.
No, it cracks me up. He makes $15 million through 2021. It's like,
yeah, that's just because Michael Jordan's a bad GM. Owner.
Okay, yeah, I'm not going to argue with you.
And Rich Cho was the GM at the time, right? Who signed
and then
him?
There's always Saint Weirdo. So.
I wouldn't be opposed to bringing St. Weirdo home only because it'd be fun to watch.
The problem is he's got a whole nother year. He's signed through 2021.
Yeah, that's a bad contract.
And I don't know if you can have Jordan Clarkson.
I got to be honest. I don't know if – I'm not so sure that Cavs Dan is going to be looking to take on too much more room, because once they sign their rookies – This offseason, they still got a lot of money on the books. I mean, the Kevin Love extension kicks in for, absolutely, what's that, 5 years, 120, or 4 years, 120. And then you still got 2 more years of Tristan.
No, 1 more year. He's only signed for 1 more year.
Oh, okay, so this year and next year. But still, it's another year of Tristan. I mean, I don't think that Dan Gilbert's going to want to be in the luxury tax for a team that at their best is probably going to be, well, as I'm saying, like, I just don't see them taking on any more of these massive contract dumps.
Unless they can move guys
in the process and get a fairly decent draft pick. But I don't know. I mean, if you think about it, look, I was playing with the
trade machine.
Yeah, not the trade machine, the tank machine or whatever it's called.
Tankathon.com.
I gotta say, it didn't really dawn on me how it was all gonna work. And when you do that, it gets kind of scary.
Like
they could be as low as like seventh or eighth, I think, if they drop another spot. So
yeah, and that's I'm not arguing with you. It is slightly frightening.
Yeah.
And the frightening thing about how teams at the end of the lottery have non-trivial odds of getting a lottery pick. I mean, we're all going to be irritated as hell if Zion goes to like the Lakers or the Mavericks.
Well, that'll be if they goes to the Lakers, the fix is in.
Well, you heard my theory the other day that Zion's going to go to New York, and then New York's going to screw it up by trading for Anthony Davis, and then he's going to leave.
He wouldn't leave if Kevin Durant and Kyrie both signed there.
Yeah, and then they'll all get hurt, and nobody will ever.
That's fine. I'm just saying, like, that actually makes sense to me. Like, if you say, okay, we can afford to sign two max free agents, so the only way we're going to get a third one is trading for him. But if we have the number one pick and we can trade Zion to to New Orleans, basically, to get AD in return. It wouldn't take much more than that. Maybe another like future consideration, or, you know, or another young player like a Knox or something like that. Mm-hmm. You send Zion, Knox, and another like 2022 pick or something like that to, because it won't matter if you get those three guys. You send that to New Orleans. Everyone's happy, and KD and Kyrie sign in with the Knicks, and that's that. You know.
Yeah.
And then Kawhi signs with the Clippers, and then Clay re-signs with Golden State, and LeBron winds up with, you know, with Boogie and Kemba.
Oh, God. Boogie on that team. I can just see it now. It's just going to be insane.
Yeah.
Like, if I was that team, I would so want a guy like Nick Vucevic over Boogie.
Totally. Totally.
But, I mean, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. The crazy thing, so I'm looking through these contracts. You know who has the worst contract in the NBA right now?
Wait, let me guess. Don't tell me. It's not still Christian, what's his name? Not Christian Laettner. Why do I call him that? The guy for the Grizzlies.
Chandler Parsons. He has a very bad contract, but no, I think it's only got one or two years left. No, the worst contract in the NBA. Do you want more guesses?
Yeah, let me have two more guesses.
Okay.
Let's see. Is it someone on Charlotte?
No. Although they do have
Nick
bad
Batum?
Contracts.
Nick Batum's not
Nick,
the worst?
Nick All Batum right. is a bad contract, but it is not the NBA's worst.
Let's see. All right, one more guess. Who is the worst contract? I know I'm missing an obvious one here.
You are. It is. I'll give you a hint. It is Mike Trout level in terms of the salary per year.
Oh God, really?
Yeah.
Who I can't think of it. I'm blanking.
John Wall is signed listen to this. He is signed for another 4 years after this one through the 2023 season, when his yearly salary will be $47 million. That's a player option, but you have to think that he won't be declining that player option. And yeah, he still has 4 years and $122 million.
I guess it all depends on how he comes back. I mean, the
but
problem is
then,
he's not going to be.
Is
no, I know.
Cancer.
He's not going to be himself next year.
Well, he's not even playing next year.
Yeah.
He's out a whole nother season, and the guy is a
yeah, that's
cancer.
True. That's a good point. Yep.
That is a bad contract.
It's pretty bad.
That's Mike Trout level.
That is Mike. Well, no, because it's Mike Trout's 12 years, right?
Something like that. And, you know,
who signs a 12-year contract? What owner in their right mind does that?
None of those guys are in their right mind.
I mean, I guess if you're going to do it for somebody, it might as well be Mike Trout, because he's been awesome. But
yeah, and has been nothing but you know, the guy you want representing your team, but
sure.
Yeah, it's nuts for sure. I mean, what the big criticism I've heard over the last several days has been, you're not even sure of the economics of baseball going out that far. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No question.
But I mean, it's really interesting because, yeah, the Cavs, not only do they have Kevin Love's contract extension kicking in next year, they also have Larry Nance's contract extension, which to me looks like a bargain at $13 million starting next year and then decreasing every year thereafter. So he's guaranteed $45 million over 4 years, which actually I think is a pretty good bargain, especially if he becomes your starting center. So
yeah, that's true.
So anyway, just a little, you know.
Well, where do you think, I mean, going back to the Kyrie thing, do you think I'm wrong about him not being able to be that? I mean, look, he had 36 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists tonight, but he was only 3 of 13 from 3. and he went hero ball at the end and got blocked by Embiid.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like the problem with that team is Kyrie could play that way if they had another really good scorer. The problem is they don't.
Hayward, they were supposed to with Hayward, and he's not.
He's really inconsistent, and
I don't even think he played tonight, Hayward.
Yeah, he may not have. I don't know. Were they on the back end? They might have been on the back end of a back-to-back, too. And then, of course, you've got Tatum, who was supposed to be a really good scorer and thinks he's a much better scorer than he is.
Yeah, well, he definitely had that sophomore fall back to earth a little bit.
The sophomore jinx.
He still has had good moments, but he's not the guy. I mean, he was their guy when Kyrie went down last year.
Yeah.
He was the guy who they looked to score, and there was no question about deferment. He just would go for things. And
yeah, but he also took much better shots last year. Like, he went to the basket. He didn't have so many, like, ISO mid-range jacks. That's right. The biggest problem with his game right now is he's got Kobe syndrome.
Yeah, well, that's what you get from listening to Kobe.
my secret theory is that Kobe, like, identifies all these people that might end up being better than him and, like, low-key sabotages.
And then sabotages him. Like, telling him how to play the game when it's the opposite of what they should be doing.
Exactly. That's exactly what I think is happening. So.
Okay, I think that's a pretty good theory. I bet Tom would agree with you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, so you think that J.R. Smith stays and the Cavs just...
No. They'll definitely trade him. I just don't know...
It's not going to be a blockbuster, is what you're saying?
No, it's going to be for a team that needs. It'll still be for a team that needs relief that can offer a pick, but it won't be a high pick, and it also won't be. I don't think it'll be an albatross contract. I think it'll be, be a contract that could still be
maybe like an Allen Crabbe or a Jeff Teague or even Kent Bazemore. A team that's trying to clear cap room.
Still playable.
Oh, all those guys are still playable. I mean,
well, I don't know if Crabbe is.
Yeah. he always scores a lot of threes against the Cavs, it seems like. But
they drafted him and traded him, right?
Yeah. There's always Bismack Biyombo.
Oh, man.
Or the best. Guy? You know what would be the absolute best is bringing Timo back.
Is his deal still awful?
He's scheduled to make 16.
Where is he now?
He's in Orlando. So basically, one of the deals was Orlando and Charlotte traded terrible contracts, and Biyombo went to Charlotte, and Mozgov went to Orlando. Because remember, he was on the end of the bench in the Magic game last week.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, so he's due to make...
Poor Timo. He was never that good. He just had one really good year.
He is not poor.
No, never will be.
I don't feel bad for Timo at all because he made $64 million courtesy of Jim Buss. So
yeah.
I mean, there's definitely guys out there. I don't think they want to add money beyond next year. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what they package to get what. Definitely guys they could pick up. One of the problems is there's so many overpaid big men in the league right now.
Yeah.
I could see Courtney Lee being a guy they get because Dallas probably wants no part of that $13 million he's owed next year, or Solomon Hill. So they're definitely going to be a part of something, but we don't know what it is yet. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to watch. Yeah,
that was weird. Oh. Yeah, you just cut out for like 10 seconds.
Okay. So that'll be interesting to watch coming up next year. And then, are you looking forward to going into the playoffs?
Well, a lot of things I was looking forward to happening have already happened, like the Lakers not making the playoffs, the Cavs actually showing that some good signs for next year, the Warriors all of a sudden look quasi-beatable, which always makes things more interesting. You know, the Celtics aren't exactly firing at all cylinders. So, I don't know. It seems like it it could be really interesting postseason. I think there'll be.
I think it will be an interesting postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think there'll be a lot. But I'm sure the NBA is not happy because they've got their New York, Chicago, and LA for the most part. Even though the Clippers are there, probably will only be for one round. But they're missing a lot of their big sort of television audiences.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure everyone was hoping that LeBron and the Lakers would at least make the playoffs this year. So that's probably
they do have Brooklyn.
Yeah. I mean, they do.
They do have Brooklyn. So it's funny because the West, there is one game separating fourth and eighth place. Or a game and a half, it looks like.
No, I'm sure the NBA is praying for either a Golden State Boston or a Golden State Philly finals because, I mean, I'm sure they don't want a Milwaukee
Toronto's their nightmare.
Although it shouldn't be. I mean, all of a sudden you'd have a whole other country involved.
Well, let me rephrase. TNT and ESPN, that's their nightmare.
Yeah, that is their nightmare.
Because they don't even get to count ratings from Canada. So
right, that's true.
But yeah, I mean, the West, I think it's going to be really interesting to just see who ends up where in the West. I mean,
well, some of these matchups, if the season ended today, are nuts.
Yeah. I mean, the Clippers and Golden State, and then you got San Antonio, Denver, which I think would be a great series.
Great series.
And meanwhile, yeah, the Spurs finally lost tonight, but they rattled off nine straight. And then,
yeah, Rockets, Jazz, that could be something special.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
Blazers, Thunder. I mean,
yeah,
every matchup's going to be kind of great.
Yeah. And even in the East, I mean, I'm not sleeping on a Miami, Milwaukee.
These injuries.
Well, Miami's 8-2 in their last 10, and Milwaukee's 5-5. And then I do think Brooklyn's going to get smashed if they stay in the seventh seed.
The Raptors will destroy them, I think.
Yeah, the Raptors or the... I don't think the Sixers will catch them, but they could. And then that...
I don't think so.
I actually,
not the way they're playing tonight. Yeah,
I actually feel like Detroit's a decent matchup for the Sixers. Just because
of Drummond?
Big they are. Yeah.
And how many threes they take.
Although, as more than one person, what was it? I own real estate in Andre Drummond's head. Isn't that Embiid quote? So
yeah.
And Pacers, Boston. I will be rooting hard for the Pacers. So
yeah, if only they had Depot still, man. That would be a world of hurt for Boston, I think.
Well, if they had Depot, I think they would be in the top three or four, or they would be in the top three for sure.
Right.
I mean, they're in fourth place without Depot for half the season, which is really impressive. I mean, you almost, there's so many coach of the year candidates. So yeah, that's a good question. So we'll wait till the end of the season, but who's your coach of the year right now?
Right now? I mean, I guess I'd probably have to say,
there's so many candidates.
Yeah, there really are. I mean, I guess I'd probably have to go with, I know you're not a fan. I'm amazed with what Doc Rivers has done.
I can't deny that he has been amazing this year.
But I mean, then again, Nate McMillan, again, like just a second straight incredible season for a team that shouldn't by all rights be where they are. But, you know, Nick Nurse is a first-time head coach.
Well, Budenholzer, I think, deserves some credit, too. I mean, he took a team that basically Jason Kidd underachieved with and has maximized their winning. So
I just feel like Budenholzer makes too many mistakes to be considered that. That's just my...
I mean, they're leading the NBA in point differential by a lot. So.
Yeah, I know. So did the Hawks in 2015 or 16.
And that is why you are one of my favorite people to talk to about basketball. Okay, so So we kind of went into the NBA a little bit. Have you filled out a bracket?
Nope.
Do you ever fill out a bracket?
I used to all the time.
I used to too. I won, like, my old job, I won 3 times in 14 years with like a 200 person pool, which is kind of impressive. I've told that story
every single year
on the podcast.
But I've never won. I've never been good at picking games. I used to do it all the time with my dad because he loved it.
Okay.
And then after he passed away, it just became less interesting to me. And then I think on top of that, just the whole college mentality now is lost its luster for me with the,
I can see
the one and dones and everything. I just feel like it's just guys showcasing now.
Interesting. And I used to do one every year, and I thought about doing this. If we had not had so many site problems, it would have been good to do like a CTB bracket.
Sure.
But
I probably would have done that if
that would have been fun, but maybe next year. So is there anybody you're looking forward to seeing in the tournament? Are you going to watch any college basketball?
I'm going to root for Ja Morant. I think.
Yeah, I want to see him play.
Game. I like that it's Murray State. I like the underdogs. Yeah. But otherwise, no. I mean, I heard some just on the radio about like Buffalo's supposed to be pretty good, the MAC team, and
And it's all guys Wojciechowski recruited, and then he went to a different school,
right? So,
yeah,
but I would assume Duke will, bulldoze, but then there'll probably be some team that upsets them and never be like, oh, I can't believe they lost, because that's usually what happens when there's a favorite like they are. So,
yeah, it should be interesting. I don't know a lot about the draft prospects, so I want to check them out. And if anybody knows these draft prospects or wants to write a profile, shoot me an email.
Because we need help, man.
We need help. And well, the funny
everybody's
thing
going
is,
on, everybody's going on vacation.
Yeah, the funny thing is, we got all this stuff at the beginning of the draft, and then we got to write about the end of the draft too, because they have the Houston pick. So
that's right. So, we'll have to get Ben on that. He's usually our resident.
He's a pretty sharp guy. I mean, I will bone up for sure. Maybe that's what I'll do when I'm on vacation for my vacation reading. Although I'm going to have a pretty packed lineup. I think we're doing Disney for like 3 days, and then Universal for a day. So
that'll be fun.
Out of a week, that's pretty packed lineup. So yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
You'll need a vacation from that vacation.
My kids are very excited. So.
Oh yeah, how could they not be? It's Disneyland World. I'm used to saying land because I'm not here.
Land
now.
Is out there, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, Disney World. I haven't been to Disney World since I was a teenager.
Oh wow, I've never been to any of them. So.
Oh well, you'll have fun.
I should.
It's very built up and big now.
And you can drink now. So.
Oh well, there you go. We used to be able to drink it at Epcot in the tour of the different cities.
Yeah, I've heard there's a lot more alcohol now.
There probably has to be.
Exactly. So as long as you don't pass out from dehydration, you're okay. So
yeah.
Anything you want to pitch?
The fourth and final season of Catastrophe came out
now,
last week.
Catastrophe, was that on TNT? Was that a TNT show?
No, Amazon. It's an Amazon show.
So it's always been an Amazon show?
Yeah.
Is Catastrophe about?
So it's Rob Delaney and Sharon Horgan. So it's an American comic and a British comic.
Oh, I know
Irish
Rob
comic.
Delaney. Yeah.
Yeah, so they play this couple that has this like, one night stand, and then she gets pregnant from it, and it kind of goes from there. So it's every season is only 6 episodes, like half hour episodes. So it's hard to even like, it's just loosely calling it a season, but, the first three were amazing. And then, I just started the fourth season last night with my wife, and we enjoy watching it, but it's, if you can understand the accents, which I can because I was born in the UK. It's it's a lot of fun to watch, and there's a lot of...
I didn't know you were born in the UK.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
you are an international man of mystery.
Yeah. Yep. Now I have 3 passports.
Wow. Yeah. That's impressive.
Yep. I don't know if it's impressive. It just sort of is. It helps for jobs.
I've been to Canada and the Bahamas. So. That's about it. So I've gotten kicked out of Canada.
Oh, nice.
Or rather, I was told to voluntarily withdraw my application for entry.
Too many felonies as a youth?
No, I tried to go in and was meeting with a customer to basically calibrate their monitor. And I made the mistake of being too truthful and just not telling the customs guy that I was there for, you know, some customer service and to talk to the customer. And so and actually it wasn't a guy. It was a very stern woman who,
that was your first mistake. You called her a guy.
No, I did not do that. But but the funny thing is, so we were, the problem was is that before I'd gone up through Buffalo, and so going through Buffalo, it was at Christmas time, so everybody from Canada was coming down to shop because they don't have sales up there like we do here. And so the Freedom Bridge was insanely crowded, and so they don't want to like stop anybody and deal with that because they literally have an hour line behind you of cars. So I was like, yeah, this is what I'm doing. I'm just going to go and, you know, meet with this customer, calibrate their monitor, etc. Well, so that was fine. But the next time I went through was like 6 months later. I was going through Port Huron, which is up in Michigan.
Sure.
And the lady was like, well, I think you're taking work away from a Canadian. I was like, this is literally 5 minutes worth of work. So I sat there for an hour and a half while they sweated us, and then I was told to, if I did not voluntarily withdraw my application, I would be banned for the country for a year.
Wow.
Trying to come in and work. So if the salesman and I had said we're going to get married in Toronto, and this was back before, you know, gay marriage was legal in the U.S., we would have been fine.
But, yeah, they're real strict about that. I've shot a bunch of movies up there where I've had to go up and say, oh, yeah, I'm producing this film and I have this. And usually I'll get – if I have to be up there for any length of time, I'll get documentation. But –
if you're just sometimes going to check on the shoot.
Yeah, sometimes I'm just going to check on the shoot, and I just have to say, yeah, I'm just coming up for a couple of days. And they're like, yeah. Usually they make me, you know, come to the side and answer a lot more questions. But
well, it was interesting because when we were there, there was somebody who was having their car tossed, like, down to the frame. Because they had found something in their luggage and they thought that they were smuggling, and this lady's just crying in this guy's arms while literally all their stuff is on the sidewalk and they're going through it all with like a fine tooth comb.
Yeah.
And so that was enough for me and the sales guy sitting there, you know, as they're kind of sweating us and I'm sure watching us on a camera or wherever, to be like, okay, yeah, and the salesman is this big guy named Tim, and he's about 6'6 and about 320, so he's a big dude, and he was getting so mad. He's like, so what do you do? I'm in sales. So if I let you in, are you gonna go do this work? And he's like, ma'am, I am not technically capable of doing this work.
That's funny.
And he's like, so you're just going to PR? And he just nods his head. He's like, sir, I need a yes or no. No. Or yes. It was just like, it was. And then so, when we got sent back, we, the guy stops us at the US part because there's the whole part where it's the border. And, he goes, so what'd they ding you for? And I told him the whole story. He's like, yeah. You don't want to go back. Don't try coming tomorrow. He goes, yeah, the U.S., we just send you back and you come back the next day. But you'll go to jail there.
Oh yeah. they like keep a record of your name and stuff. I think it's a little easier on the West Coast because so much Hollywood production has gone to Vancouver.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they say, I think you're taking a Canadian job, most of the time it's like, well, we created those Canadian jobs.
Right.
Because
exactly.
We have a whole film business that exists in Vancouver because it's basically similar weather to, you know, Los Angeles for at least, you know, 4 or 5 months a year. So, yeah, I mean,
Toronto is similar.
Yeah.
Well, because a lot of stuff set in New York is filmed in Toronto.
True. Yeah. So it's a little easier, especially if you're dealing with film stuff. Yeah. But they're definitely strict about those things.
It wasn't Port Huron. It was Port Clinton. Now that I'm thinking about it, but
right.
So yeah,
even more suspect. In
mental note, don't go to Canada through Port Clinton. Yep. Either go through Windsor or go through Buffalo. So
safety tip.
So
how about you? What are you pitching this week?
I don't have a ton to pitch. I guess I'd pitch Airbnb, hopefully, because I got a smoking deal on my my Florida trip. But I don't know. I haven't been watching a ton of movies. I went and saw Captain Marvel. Have you seen it?
Yeah. What'd you think? Did you take your girls?
It was okay. I took my girls.
Did they like it?
They loved it. Very girl
power. Yeah, well, they loved it. Yeah.
Sure. My problem with the movie is there are long stretches where nothing happens. And
yeah,
like if a large part of your movie takes place when you're looking up archives and it's not like a legal drama, you have poorly written your script.
Yeah.
Like to me, that was the biggest, like, why are we wasting time crawling around military archives? Like this does not seem like an effective use of Brie Olson and Samuel Jackson's time.
Right.
But I mean, some of the stuff was cool. Like the way they made Samuel Jackson younger was neat. Although I don't
And Clark Gregg, the guy who plays Agent Coulson.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was cool. He was a nice touch. And Brie Larson was fine. I just didn't think the story was all that great. But these are kind of like the fringe Marvel characters. I feel like they're kind of taking a Marvel character that was never that resonant and trying to sell us on it. And I always thought the Skrull storylines and the Kree storylines were always kind of hokey to begin with. And
right.
They did a nice job with it in Guardians of the Galaxy. The Guardians of the Galaxy tie-ins in this movie were a little forced. It was
right.
Okay. But, I mean, there's some really good... Brie Larson and Samuel Jackson had really good chemistry.
Yeah, probably the best chemistry that he's had with one of the heroes, I think.
Yeah, well, I always thought he and Tony Robert Downey Jr. were pretty good together.
But... Yeah, but Downey Jr. is good with everybody.
Well,
I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
I feel like this was one that was maybe not as expected, but played really nicely and.
Yeah.
The cat was a fun surprise, and then
yeah.
I think they did
give you some nice twists, although it was funny because my wife and my daughter both was like, oh, yeah, I saw that twist coming, the big twist I'm talking about. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, I didn't get that at all. I just thought something was up with the cat. And so, and normally I pick up on that stuff right away, so that was kind of funny. But, I mean, my daughters loved it. I didn't think it was nearly as good as Wonder Woman.
I mean, Wonder Woman is just a better origin story.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the problem. Origin stories are tough. If it's not a good comic book origin, like, it's just hard. Have you seen Into the Spider-Verse yet?
No, I still need to see that.
Oh, you do need to see that. Yeah, I mean, that they do a nice job with that one of making it an origin story and not an origin story at the same time. So, right. That one's kind
of... I just think that... ultimately, you know, the problem with, it's not a problem, it's just the unfortunate part about Captain Marvel is that at this stage of the Marvel universe's history, you know, she's more of a, okay, we need to jam in a backstory, you know, or a story for you because you're going to be important in either undoing what happened in the last Avenger movie. So,
yeah. Yeah. And I'm very annoyed by certain things, like Sony's decision to put out a Spider-Man trailer before the last Avenger comes out, so you, or the, yeah, Avenger Endgame comes out, so you basically know that Spider-Man lives, which I think is really lame.
Well, that's the problem with having Marvel at different studios, which a lot of that, everything but Spider-Man got remedied just today with the Disney Fox merger finally going through. So,
okay, so
all of the X-Men, Deadpool, Fantastic Four will go to Disney Marvel now.
So. Oh, wow. That's fantastic. So pretty much on this.
And Kevin Feige's really been involved heavily in the last two Spider-Mans, but
who?
Kevin Feige who runs Marvel.
Okay.
Yeah,
And the Spider-Verse for that matter too. So.
Yeah, and I mean I'm excited about that. I thought this kind of incarnation of the X-Men was a lot of fun. Although I hate Sansa Stark as Jean Grey. I'm just not a fan of that casting. Right. And I thought when they cast her that that third original X-Men movie is awful. that's the whole problem with that one. But the one where Famke Janssen turns into the Phoenix.
Oh yeah. Well, that was the Brett Ratner one.
Yeah, that was just a terrible one, but I really like Days of Futures Past.
Yep.
And I thought that was excellent. And X-Men, what was the one with X-Men Apocalypse was okay.
Apocalypse was just okay, yeah.
Yeah, but
I really liked Logan.
Yeah, Logan was excellent.
Ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess Ryan Reynolds is trying to what's his name that plays Wolverine?
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman into doing one more Wolverine appearance with him. So
maybe if anybody could talk him into it, he could.
Well, so. and money always talks. So
yep.
So that'll be fun. I really would love to see them make a good Fantastic Four, and I feel like that could fit in this Marvel universe.
Well, that's just it. I think it needs to be brought into more of a Guardians type of style. It needs a filmmaker that can do that.
Well,
the problem with the first iteration was too kind of hokey TV star-ish, and then the second iteration was trying to be like took itself way too seriously. So
yeah, and
so somewhere in between those two things.
Well, I do think it's funny that Chris Evans was in the
Johnny Blaze,
Johnny Storm,
or whatever Johnny Storm, yeah, a Human Torch.
I see you are not a true believer.
I never get the names right with all that. There's just too many names to remember in the Marvel universe.
Isn't that ironic that you're the one that gets the names wrong there and I get them right?
Yeah, when you just flip it for the NBA.
Yeah, exactly. So, it'll be interesting to see what they do with those. Have they said whether they're going to integrate the X-Men universe into the greater Marvel comic universe now, or?
I think that's the plan, but okay. I think they have, honestly, I think that's part of the moving on from some of the older, initial, Avengers too.
When they kill a lot of these guys off.
Yeah. Which they will I'm not spoiling anything. Like
they're going to kill some of these guys off. Yeah. I have avoided all previews. I've avoided all spoilers, and I kind of know, but I don't want to know. So, and I like the movies. I'm not in love with them, but I do hate when, I have watched almost all these movies, and I do hate when, you get to the end and it's ruined for you. So I'm trying to avoid that. So,
right.
So, I've never seen The Sixth Sense. So don't tell me the secret.
You've never seen.
No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, that was like 99, dude. Like, that's 20 years ago.
Well, what was it? I never watched the end of Lost until like four seasons after it was over. So,
I still haven't. After the first two seasons, I was like, I'm done with this.
Well, the funny thing is, the third season was probably my favorite season, and that was the most disappointing ending to a show probably I've ever watched. Although Battlestar Galactica's ending was pretty bad too. So,
a lot of these shows are, though. Like, it's hard to live up.
They can't figure out how to end them, or they went on a season too long.
Yeah.
Already. Like, I mean, I don't think there's anybody that wouldn't disagree that Breaking Bad probably went on a season too long.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite shows. So, anyway, so I don't think I really have anything to pitch. Other than, watch the NCAA tournament. Be happy. I listened to a lot of, what I pitched last week, Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats, and been listening to a lot of the National lately. So I guess I'll pitch the National, but, check them out on YouTube. They got some really good concerts on YouTube. They're really good live. So the one at the Sydney Opera House is really cool. So that's my pitch. The National at the Sydney Opera House.
When do the Cavs play again? Friday?
The Cavs play Friday. I will be there. I'll be at the game.
Oh, you will?
For the Clips. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, my company was giving away free tickets, so I can't pass that up. So yeah, I think that's like the first Cavs game I'll have gone to this year. So I'm excited.
Wow.
Hopefully we get the whole crew. That is exciting. No, I did go
early. This will be the first year in a long time that I'm going to miss one.
No, I did go earlier this year because my girls got to stand in the high five line and
I wasn't about to try to get a Laker ticket.
Yeah.
When they were here.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think they're coming back out to play the Clippers though. Let me see.
I think they are.
I think they are. That's pretty soon.
Play the Clippers?
No, I don't think they played the Clippers this year yet.
Huh. Usually when teams go to LA, they play them both.
I know, but they sort of split it up. They had their earlier one. They play them March 30th. Huh. I'll try to go to that. Tickets as low as $14.
There you go. Man, out in L.A., tickets are as cheap as $14 for a Clipper. That is the difference between the Clippers and the Lakers, isn't it?
Yep.
That's crazy.
I could go to Phoenix on April Fool's Day, tickets are as low as $7.
Oh, that's crazy. So where do they want
to
move?
I could go see them at Golden State on April 5th for $82.
Where do they want to move the Clippers to?
They want to move them to the Forum.
In Inglewood?
And the Lakers are trying to block that.
Yeah, didn't the Lakers used to play at the Forum?
By going there first.
the Lakers are going to move back to the Forum?
Yeah, well, they might. They're discussing it because it's kind of one of those – it's in a total Laker fashion. They don't want someone else to do it, so they might have to do it if they want to block the other team from doing it.
That's insane. Classic Lakers.
Classic Lakers. But there's a lot of history there. I mean, they'd need to do a lot to the Forum to improve its basketball. I mean, that's probably a several hundred million dollar revamp, but
probably more than that, the way these things
I mean, the structure's still there. It's not like you'd have to tear the whole thing down, although they probably would. It was built a while ago, so
yeah.
So if they tore it down and started over, then yes, it would be probably more like closer to $1 billion.
Yeah, speaking of which, I'll have to tell you how the new queue is shaping up. So
yeah, I've been seeing the commercials, so I'm excited to see it. I might be back in that neck of the woods in the summer, but
okay. Well, we'll have to catch a Tribe game. I hear those tickets will be affordable.
That seems like an almost certainty. Paul Dolan doesn't have any money because he loses money every year on the team. So
well, yeah, and their money's from cable, isn't it?
Yeah, well, if it is, they made a bad deal. I was hearing about that today. I don't want to start another topic, but something like I think they get $40 million a year from their TV deal. which sounds good until you realize that like Tampa Bay gets like $82 million a year from their deal. And the whole reason that Artie Moreno out here can pay Mike Trout that kind of money is because the Angels get $150 million a year. And this goes through like 2031, I think.
Well, you know what the insane thing is that the Tribe actually had the same number of households viewing their games as the Angels.
No, more so. They have the best share in baseball last year.
And they're only getting $40 million.
Yeah, they had like a 9 share. Yeah, they get that until I think their deal runs through like 2027. I think.
Wow, so
there's no way they can get more money
for Sports Time Ohio.
Totally. They should see if they can renegotiate that. Can't they just pull a Kyrie and say I want out of his contract?
Or an Anthony Davis?
Yeah. Well, it worked for Kyrie, though. It didn't work for Anthony Davis.
Not yet.
I don't know if it will.
We'll see where he ends up.
Yeah.
All right. As always, go Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite blogger. There's a fire. We're out.